Amen. So as we start this morning, let's just all bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, it's a great opportunity to be in your house with those of like precious faith. And Father, we just pray that everything is said and done will be for your honor and glory. We just pray that, Lord, you just bless Brother Bob as he comes and bring the word to us, Lord. And as we look into the scripture this morning, Lord, for this Sunday school lesson, we just pray that you just come and help us. And Lord, just bless our words. And Lord, just speak to each heart and each life, those that are listening in. Lord, the ones that couldn't be here with us, we just pray that you'll be with them also. We commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'll talk about a little bit about the time of year and looking at the life of Jesus. And, you know, we understand this is not the time that Jesus was born, but we recognize this is the time that we recognize and we give thanks for the gift of God that came. Whatever time of the year, we know the prophet said it was in April, but, you know, it should be that we should be honoring and thanking God for that gift every single day. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. You see people that, you know, as Brother Ram talked about, there's a lot of people that they spend a lot of time, and it becomes such a worldly, and it's more about a financial kind of holiday and celebration. And you know, then other people, they're always on the polar opposite of that. And, you know, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And, you know, it's all pagan. And, you know, there's no good, there's no benefit in it. And, you know, it's just like, you know, I can't believe anybody would have anything to do with any of it. And, you know, but you know, like Brother Branham said, you gotta look in the middle. You know, you gotta find that center point. I mean, because you can go either way too far, but you gotta find the right meaning. And, you know, that's the main thing about this time of year. You know, I was talking to a guy at work, and we were talking about the holidays, and we were talking about different things. And, you know, the way I look at it, we were talking about, you know, kids and, you know, raising kids and, you know, about the holidays and all kinds of these things. And I said, it's sad that people spend more time talking about Santa Claus and all of these things than they do about Jesus. And I said, because the greatest gift that you're ever going to have, the greatest gift that you're ever going to give your children is the plan of salvation, to bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not, you know, because everybody talks about all of the financial things and, you know, all the monetary things. All that's going to pass away. But the greatest gift that we've ever received has been Jesus Christ in our life. He came and took on flesh. He came from glory and condescended to be like you and I. And you know, as Brother Ram was talking one time, you know, you look at this great expectation that the great scholars and the Pharisees and all had of what was going to take place. But, you know, he came the way the word said he was going to come. He had a humble, lowly birth. He came like you and I did. Very humble. And so he came to live the same kind of life, to experience the same things that you and I experience. And he stepped down into that to be like you and I, that we might be like him. And you see that, you know, when you have these, your kids, and you realize, you know, the free gift is a gift of salvation. Jesus Christ coming and living in you, taking up residence in you. But when he came, and I was like, that's the same thing about giving a gift and receiving a gift. This time of year, I always think about, it's not what the gift is, but in the spirit in which it's given. Somebody took the time to buy something for you, whether it's little or not, no matter how big it is. You know, if somebody takes the time to think of you and take their hard-earned money and they go out and buy something for you. You know, I really honor that, because, you know, that means something to me that somebody would do that. And I was telling the guy at work, see, that is the type of the time that in which we're living. Christ came to take on our sin. He came, and it, just as the scripture said, he had to be born to be just like us, that he might be able to die in our stead. But you know, you see how, but to understand the time in which we live, how everybody misses these things, and you know, but to understand the scripture was spoken of what was going to take place. And you know, we miss the importance of things, and that's the reason why I entitled this The Key. Because many things are so locked up to people. They're so bound, they don't understand things. But they don't realize that Jesus Christ is the key. He's what will unlock these things. Because there's a lot of mysteries. Just like in the days of Jesus when he came, they didn't understand his birth. They didn't understand what he was fulfilling. But he kept pointing them back to the scripture to tell them. He said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. He kept pointing them back to the word to tell them. And you know, there in Luke, and Luke 4, you know, when Jesus comes into the temple that day, you know, he's speaking and he goes to the priest and he takes the word of Isaiah, and he walks up there, and the priest hands him the scroll, and he opens it up, and he begins to read. And so he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So when he was reading about that, he was telling him what he came to do. He came to this is what he came to do. He's pointing him back to the scripture, what the prophet had said. And so here he is, he's speaking, because he came to bring those that were captive, he bring to set them free. Here he come, here is the liberty that you have. The freedom that you have is in Jesus Christ. And so you have this liberty. And so, you know, because they were bound. As Brother Bram talked about, you know, the scripture, we'll read it here in a minute, but you know, there in the scripture when Jesus was talking about, he rebuked the lawyers and the Pharisees, he said, because you won't go in and you hinder them that would go in. But they have the opportunity, but you are holding them back. And so here they are, he's bringing this message of liberty and freedom. And you know, Brother Branham says, you know, in the message, the patriarch Abraham, he says, how many of you feel bound, feel the pressure of the enemy? You know, how many, you know, because we all live under pressure. We all have struggles and problems and all these things. But you know, when we look at how all these things, but see, when you think about all these pressures and you feel bound by things and things hold you back. But you know, God didn't come for us to live like this. He came that we might have liberty and have freedom. That we might walk in the liberty of the word and to be free. And you know, you take the word as it comes, and you know, there in the scripture, you know, when you look back at the Christmas story there, and you know, Gabriel comes to Zacharias, and you know, he's talking to him about having a son, and you know, and he's like, well, how can these things be? But you know, God still had a plan that was going to take place, whether he believed it or not. God was going to fulfill his word. And you know, he said, well, you know what, you're not going to be able to talk until your son's born. But you know, here's this little humble virgin receiving the same visitation and takes that word and says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." You know, she had that belief. And you know, Brother Brown says, one of the keys that we have that unlocks these things is faith. Faith is the key to unlock these things. And so if you have faith to believe, and you look at the testimony that she carried to Elizabeth. Now, no doubt she was confused about all this. Who else had ever had this experience take place? But here come Mary and her faith come up there and told her, listen, the fulfillment of Isaiah is coming. The Messiah, Gabriel has come and told me these things. And here she was, these 6 months without any life of John moving or anything. But your brother said, all it took was her speaking that name of Jesus, and he leaped in his mother's womb. And that's all it takes this morning, is the name of Jesus. I think about that song, I speak the name of Jesus. Over every situation, every power that comes against you, I speak the name of Jesus. Because that's what will break every yoke, every bondage, every chain, every prison door that binds you, it's faith in Jesus. And when we think about, well, we just think about a baby in a manger. No, that was deliverance. Just like when Amram and Josabed was out praying for years and praying for a deliverer in Egypt, they were God's people and they had a promise. And that promise was to them. And they had to wait all those years. But you know what? It never changed their prayer. It never changed their belief in what God was going to do for them. And here a son was born under the penalty of death. All those other young babies were killed. But you know what? God had his hand on Moses to bring forth a deliverer. And you know what? They acted in faith to carry and took care of that boy and sent him out in that little ark. But you know what? He went to the exact place that God wanted him to go. To go through the things that he had to go through. But you know what? You know what? Their faith didn't change when Moses was born and they had to send him down the Nile. They didn't change their, because you know what? He's the deliverer. All those years. Because what happened? The next thing you know, we see Josabed has got Moses again, and he's sitting on her lap, and she's teaching him, you're not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You're the deliverer. You've got a calling of God on your life. And it's like, but you know, he didn't stay in the plan of God and allow God to do the work. He got to the point where he's like, well, I can do it in my own self. But God wanted him to do it in a time frame. Because, you know, after he had went through all the great things of Egypt and reached such a high pinnacle in his career and all the things that he had experienced, then all of a sudden God had him on the backside of the desert herding sheep, and he thinks he's the lowest thing in the world. And he wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. But what was it? God said it took 40 years to put that in him. It took 40 years to get it out of him. And he went through all of that, and he got to the, by going through all of that, it got him to the place where God could use him. And then God could come to him and speak to him through a pillar of fire and speak to him and tell him, listen, now I want you to fulfill what you've always been, what you've known. Now, you didn't believe it. You had your doubts. You know, it's like, how are you going to be this great deliverer on the backside of a desert? Nobody knows you're there. When you've had the greatest things, you've experienced the greatest things in the world. And it's like, well, I've reached the bottom. But no, God still had his hand on him to bring him to the place where God wanted to use him. And it's like now, and the first thing out of Moses' mouth, I can't do this because I can't speak. You know, I've got my excuses. But you know what? God had answers for his excuses. It's like, listen, who created a man's mouth? It didn't change the fact that whatever happened in your life is going to set you back. If God has called you to do something, then you know what? There's a path and a way for you to get there. If God's called you to be a son and daughter of God and live in the freedom and the liberty in which Christ is, because if we're in Christ and we're a new creature, we're a new creation in him, then you know what? We can live in the liberty of the word. And it's like, well, we feel bound by things. Well, you know what? That he is here this morning for us to be free. Because the scripture tells us, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. That if he has set us free, then we are free. But many times the problem is we lack the key that it takes to unlock these things. See, Brother Ramos says, in the name of Jesus Christ, see, it's so powerful tonight. And he said, if we understood that, see, it ought to be among the people here tonight, Brother Ramos said. And he said, what ought it to do to a sick man or a sick woman? If the word is true and it's went forth, then you can be free from those things. He's here the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's ever done it once, then he's here to do it again. Says, Brother Brown said, Jesus is the door to all these things, and faith is the key that unlocks the door. Now, if Jesus is the door to all these promises of God, faith in his finished work unlocks every door to every treasure there is inside the kingdom of God. He said, faith is the key that unlocks every promise he makes. The key of faith does not. Faith in his finished work, it's these keys that we're speaking on. When he's speaking of the key, Brother Brown says, you know, it was the key to the door that stopped the mouths of lions. It unlocked the prison doors. He said it quenched the violence of fire, escaping the edge of the sword, brought back the dead back to life again. It was faith, the key of faith in the living God. He said, that hand, that man, that woman, who can take that key of faith, they can unlock every promise God made. See, the key is here. He said, any correct key has levers on the inside of the lock, and it takes a certain form, a certain shape of them keys to turn those levers. And just one little lever out of the way will mess the whole thing up. Amen. But so we have to follow exactly the right way. I've been kind of looking at this for a little bit, and I went looking for a filing cabinet. I wanted a two drawer, just a little one, and so I was looking for one that wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg. And so I went around some of these liquidator places and, you know, secondhand stores and everything, trying to find one. Well, I found one, and so I went to go look at it. Well, by the time I got there, they had already sold it. But the lady said, well, I've got another one. And because I saw it, and she said, well, I can't sell that one. And I was like, well, why can't you sell it? And she's like, well, because we don't have any keys to it. And so, we was looking around, and I asked her, I said, well, how much will you take for that one? And I kept trying, you know, and she was just, yeah, well, I don't know. So, finally I said, well, I mean, really, what will you take for it? And she said, I'll give it to you. She said, well, I can't sell it because it ain't got any keys to it. But, you know, I was talking to Richard yesterday, I took it home. I was like, listen, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I mean, I've had to drill out many locks in my lifetime. People lose their keys or whatever, and I've drilled out locks before and just put in a new lock with new keys. But Richard went over and looked at I showed it to him, and he went over and took a picture of the lock, and he looked it up. He said, well, you can buy a key for it on Amazon. So you can get the problem is, when people look at things, they have it right in their midst, but the problem is they say, well, it doesn't do me any good. But the problem is they don't know what the key is. The key to unlock it, it was very simple. But they miss that. How many times is, Brother Bram, all through the scripture we see so many people, they miss the plan of God. God right in their midst. And here's God speaking to them, and the problem is they don't recognize what the key to their problem is. You know, Brother Bram continues on, and he was talking about in the meetings and everything, and he says, when he's speaking of the meetings and all, and he says, that's what I want to do to you. You to do, really. He said, it's prayer that I depend on. And he's asking, you know, talking about people praying about the meetings, and he said, that's the secret of all the mysteries of God. That's the key that opens the door to everything of God is prayer. Yes. If you pray and believe, when you pray, then believe that you receive what you ask for, and God will make it known. He says, see, and the other one in the message from the key to the door, Brother Ron says, therefore, I believe in the full gospel, every word of God that turns the power of God loose, that turns his blessings to the people, it's the key to the door that unlocks it. So what did Brother Branham tell us? If you want to get closer to God, what did he say that you had to do? Read your Bible and pray. So here's one quote where Brother Branham says, prayer is what's going to unlock these things. But the other one, he said, every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we have, today, we have what we need. But like Brother Branham said, there's many times we're too afraid to act on it. We have what we have need of. And so you see people come bound, and you know, they're locked in certain situations and chains of circumstance or whatever. But you know what? God has come here to make you free. To free you from these things. What's the greatest gift that you can have is eternal life. And what comes with eternal life? The blessings of God. All the blessings that come that are part of the Word of God that are blessings to you. See, all of, what comes from having the Word, what comes from these things? The gift of God, the blessings of God, the fruits of the Spirit, they belong to you. You can have those. I want to share this. I don't want to embarrass her, but I had a dream just a few weeks ago, and I was sitting there. And I was on a train. There was several of people from here in the church was on this train riding. And I was sitting on the bench by myself. And Kaylee Black come over there. In my dream, she come over and sat down beside me. And we got to talking. Well, she gave me these stickers, these little colorful stickers and everything. It had all these different things on it. But we got talking, and then she got up and walked off. Well, I got to licking through the stickers. And as I was flipping through them, you know, it was like meekness, gentleness, and long-suffering, and peace, and joy. And, it just kept reading all these on these stickers, had all these things, and it was just like, man, that's what. But when I got to the last one was bigger than all the rest of them. Had a great big sticker. It was a great big embossed, gold embossed thing, big fancy one. And it had two words on it. It said, the substance. And, you know, I thought about that. You know, you see all of those peace and joy and long-suffering and meekness and gentleness. And then you go up virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. But what is the one that all that hinges on? What's the most important one? Is how faith is the substance. And if you have the substance this morning, then you know what? You can claim all the rest of them. That's the main one, is having that substance. And it's a free gift this morning. You know, Brother, I'm talking about claiming your healing. Well, the first thing you got to do is believe it. In your mental faculty, you got to believe that God has healed you. That the Word speaks to you. Don't speak to anybody else. By His stripes, I'm healed. Then it's not anybody else. That Word is mine. You know, when I went to the hospital 26 months ago, I went to the hospital. I had a cardiac arrhythmia, and I had had it for a while, and I hadn't told anybody. But I just knew something was wrong. And I went to the doctor because I just couldn't function anymore. And I really thought I had a heart problem. When they got me to Northeast Georgia, they were checking me out, and they was like, "You don't have a heart problem." They couldn't find anything wrong with me. They run cholesterol, everything. They said, "The only problem that you got is your A1C is high. You got high blood sugar," which I didn't know that called cardiac arrhythmia, but I do now. But, you know, when I went through all that, and, you know, I told them, I said, "Well, how long do I have to be on this medicine?" That's the one goal, to get off the medicine. You know, because I don't want to be on it forever. God didn't call us to be on it. You know what I mean? I thank God for medicine. I thank God for hospitals and doctors. But you know what? I got my faith in the great physician. He's the one that carries you through. Because all they're going to do is give you a pill that's going to treat a symptom. And they're going to give you another pill to treat another symptom. But you know, it's just like they put you on something for sugar. It ain't long. They got you on something for cholesterol. The next one, they got you a heart pill or blood pressure pill. Why? Because it starts messing with your body. But I told them, I was like, "Listen, I don't want to be on this thing." And it's like, well, you know, they give you mixed signals, like whether or not you can get off of this thing or not. I was like, well, one of them said, "Well, you might be able to." Another one, "Well, I don't know. You may have to be on it for a while." But you know what? I got the medical advice, but I got one that's a divinely written medical advice that come from glory, and it said, I can be free of that. And it's taken me 26 months. And I knew one of the things I was going to have to do is I was going to have to learn how to control my appetite. And you know what? It was a battle, but you know what? It's a battle that I won through Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, you struggle with things, but the Scripture told me I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I thank God that my A1C came down and I'm off the medicine. Because God is a healer. But He'll also bring you through the trials and the battles that you've got to fight. But you know what? Don't give up. Because He'll be right there with you. When you're weak, He is strong. I'm so glad that I've got one to lean on. And that's what I want you to know this morning. Jesus Christ came as a free gift to you. And all those redemptive blessings belong to you in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have Sister Esther come this morning.